This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Now, the opening drive.
It is Danny, Dave, and Moore, and the Mariners' future, well, it became a little bit clearer, and this decision may have been an expensive one. It was also a fairly easy one when it came to the future of their general manager, Jerry Dipoto, whose contract has been extended. In the words from Kevin Mather, Mariners president, who oversaw the hiring of him, was that Jerry came here 2.5 years ago with a very specific game plan. He has executed that game plan. And so today's news, while not a formality, should not surprise anyone.
Couldn't be happier for Jerry. You know, I was reflecting on when we went down for spring training, and look, Jerry's always been very generous with his time and coming by and saying hello, and saw him a couple of times down there, and we didn't get a chance to talk to him, but he was, you know, very, I think, legitimately stressed out, and rightfully so, because he needs some things to work out, and they finally did, and I just couldn't be happier for all these things coming together. And later on, we'll talk to, I think, one of the biggest parts, and maybe we can, you know, kind of run through who do you think's been the guy that most helped Jerry Dipoto on the decisions he's made. But Marco Gonzalez, you know, that's been a huge part of what they've done and why they've been so successful this year. And it's just one move of a lot of ones we could talk about with Jerry Dipoto.
Yeah, well, you look at three parts of that rotation. All credit to Jerry Dipoto for bringing him in with, you look at Marco Gonzalez and Wade LeBlanc and Mike Leake. And so, yeah, last year when Leake came, I mean, he started out really well, and he's done well this year, too. I wondered about him, but, boy, you see him out there. He's an innings eater. He takes the ball every 5 days. Marco Gonzalez is blossoming into a guy that you look as a number two starter. And then Wade LeBlanc, Shannon was talking earlier to Bob Gross and Tom about it. And of all these moves where we always go, boy, Haniger and Segura from the Diamondbacks, that's his best move ever. Well, what about a minor move like the one for Wade LeBlanc and what that's meant to the team? D. Gordon, getting him and putting him in center field, I questioned that. But the one thing, the move that he made that I questioned the most that's worked out the best is hiring Scott Servais as the manager. And Servais will probably be the next guy in line. Dipoto said that that's a priority for him now to get Servais signed to an extension. So everything's falling into place right now.
If you're a Mariners fan, you should feel better about this franchise's future than you have at any point in the last 15 years. And that is what's being put into contracts. First for Jerry Dipoto, and then I'm sure that Scott Servais is going to follow, because you should feel very encouraged about the direction of things. When Jerry took over this team, he took over a team that was in a very difficult situation in this regard. They had some really good stars. They had Nelson Cruz, and they had Robinson Cano, and Kyle Seager, and Felix Hernandez, who at that time, Felix was still absolutely a star. And he inherited a team that wasn't winning with that star power and with those big contracts. And you had this very honest question of, would you be better off ripping it down to the studs, trading everything of worth at the major league level to try and honestly rebuild in the model of how the Houston Astros did? And he came in with a plan that we're going to keep that core together. We're going to keep those guys. We're not going to sell them off for whatever we can get and take a quarter on the dollar for them. But we're going to augment it with, what did he tell us? Younger, more athletic outfielders. We're going to get speed around this team. And they found value in starting pitching. You look at the team now. When they contended for a playoff berth 2 years ago, the best players on this team were Seager and Cano and Cruz and Felix. And the best players on this team right now, not that those guys, well, Felix is not right now a good player, is currently constituted. I think you would say you hope that he's better the second half than he's been, and it's been promising recently. But Felix is not a star the way he's performing right now. Seager's average is a little bit down, but he still hits for power. Cano's a star when he's playing, but he's suspended. Nelson Cruz is a star. But, man, Mitch Haniger and Gene Segura and D. Gordon and Marco Gonzalez, like, those guys are players that, if not sort of on that start, they're recognizable, serviceable. They're part of the reason why this team's winning, and that's why you do this extension right now, not just because they're 23 games over 500, but why?
Well, and Ryan Healy, I'd throw him in there. I mean,
Healy's
shoot, there's
a great one.
Yeah, and you just get it from so many different places. But that's why, you know, you bring that up, Danny. you had these four superstars making all the money. It's hard. Usually you strip that down. You trade those guys away, you start over. And so that's where it really brings into focus what Scott Servais is doing. He was able to create the chemistry and the, well, I know we overuse that word, but just the way the guys get along and that they've been able to integrate the older guys with the younger guys. And so, and as you said the other day, this is more of an up and coming team than it is an old team with the window closing.
Yeah, it's surprising the way that's worked out because you figured that the window would be closing with the four aging stars. Seager still, though, only being 30, you figure he's got plenty of time left. But Felix, certainly a lot of miles on his 32-year-old right arm there. But the rest of it, all these guys in their 20s. So, yeah, you look at it this year and you love what's happening this year. But you look in the future, and I was always worried about that with the Astros. Okay, how are you ever going to catch the Astros? And still, they're only a game and a half back. They might end up catching them like you think they will at some point. Dave, you too. I'm not necessarily there yet, but just the way they played this year. And then to think, okay, they've got the Astros that they're chasing, another young team in Houston, and the Mariners are getting younger too. And so this seems more sustainable than it did, say, a year or two ago.
You know, the other thing too, just gutsy by Jerry DePoto, because he got a lot of criticism early on. A lot of people want him to go after Jake Arrieta and get pitching in here. But his conviction, sticking with, you know, Wade LeBlanc, Marco Gonzalez. I mean, there was a thought that now that's not a good enough lineup. That's not, you know, you don't have five legitimate, a rotation there. And he didn't go and get, you know, Jake Arrieta, any of those big stars. And he believed in guys like Wade LeBlanc and Marco Gonzalez and Mike Leake. And I just sit there and think, man, no wonder he was like, you would have been stressed out. And
I thought he was wrong. Didn't you?
I didn't know, man. I was hoping.
What did you see from Marco last year that made you think, oh, yeah, next year he's going to be good?
No, nothing. And really all you heard was what Jerry DePoto had to say. And same thing about Wade LeBlanc. And I remember, especially the LeBlanc thing, I'm like, what? Wade LeBlanc? I mean, you look at his career, and we were talking about earlier, Danny, how, you know, you can resurrect your career in baseball. But just being able to see that and identify that is what's so impressive to me. And it's paid off for him. Couldn't be happier for him.
When they acquired Mike Leake and Marco Gonzalez, my thought was, are you really going to become a better baseball team by taking guys that don't throw that hard? Because neither Leake nor Gonzalez, at a time when velocity is emphasized maybe more than it ever has been. It's not that people didn't care about velocity before. People have always cared about how hard you throw in baseball. But it's valued more now, whether it's out of the bullpen, it's in the starting rotation. People love velocity. Are you going to get better by getting soft-tossing guys that can't make the St. Louis Cardinals, that the Cardinals are willing to pass on? Is that the way you get better? And the answer is yes, because of what Jerry saw in them, which isn't that, hey, Jerry likes velocity as much as anybody else does. But he also knows that velocity is really expensive, and he thought that both Leake and Gonzalez had a couple traits that would allow them to be successful even though they didn't throw hard. And it's not his goal wasn't to go and get, hey, I think better pitchers are guys that don't have velocity. It was Mike Leake and Marco Gonzalez are athletic. They're competitive. They've got the right mindset for this team. And that's going to allow them to succeed, even though they don't throw as hard as people are thinking they'd like to have their major league starters. And you know what? This season speaks to that. We're going to have Marco Gonzalez. He's going to join us at 3:30. And he's probably, of all the different trades and deals that Jerry's made, and he is the Allen Iverson of trades. Like, he's a volume shooter.
You just keep putting it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And shoot or shoot.
And he admits he shot some air balls,
yep,
too.
Shoot or shoot. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I think Marco Gonzalez, the deal for Marco Gonzalez, in my mind, stands as the most important one for him, because I think it speaks to his conviction and the fact that he found a value in that player and a way to bring the value out of the player.
Well, yeah. Not only that, you get Marco Gonzalez, and he's totally developed and paid off, but you don't even care about Tyler O'Neill, who he had to trade away for him. And I think that's always the hallmark of a good trade, too. You think about, and, you know, some of the air balls that he shot with Chris Taylor.
Chris Taylor, yeah, that was one.
That was an air ball where
nobody saw it coming.
No.
We compared that to who's the running back kid for the Seahawks that went to Baltimore?
Alex Collins.
Alex
Collins. River Dancer?
Yeah. I can't remember football names right now because we're in baseball season.
That's
yeah,
right.
That's why, Danny. Anyway, yeah, I mean, that was one of those, like, nobody saw that out of Chris Taylor. Did you?
So you're saying you remember baseball names then? No?
No, not necessarily.
Neither.
Okay. Neither.
I just felt the need to bust Dave's chops there. You know, he was almost late because he was behind a train today.
Well, he got here before
I
was
behind
did.
A train.
Well, I think, yeah.
I was waiting for the train to pass.
You were waiting for a train?
Yeah.
So I thought that was a new one. I think, has Grouse used that one before?
Grouse got stuck in an elevator. I remember that. I saw a picture from the inside of an elevator once. That was fantastic.
It looked like it was something he got off the internet.
I will tell you this. No, that was the picture from the turlet that he took to show one of the things that were there. I did a reverse image search on a picture Grouse sent, convinced that he had downloaded a photo of the internet to show his explanation for his absence.
That was an all-timer.
And I'm not sure who was craziest in that scenario. I will say this, though. If there's one person you want your in-laws to meet from the station, it's the Grouse.
Absolutely.
We ran into the Grouse.
Are your in-laws coming tonight?
They're not going to be able to be here, which is unfortunate. Yeah. But they were at the game on July 4th, and we ran into the Grouse. The Grouse is 100. He is the best guy for your in-laws to run into.
He's America's host.
Absolutely.
Grouse is. I did a appearance with him down south somewhere. It was at a casino and sitting there playing blackjack, and Grouse is just telling stories, entertaining the entire table, including the dealer.
Yeah, he's great when he shows up. I said that for Bob Stelton's benefit in case Bob's listening.
Well, that should get you some points for Bob.
No. Where were we? Oh, talking about – that's the fun of it, isn't it? So it's just like with watching guys who can hit the long ball. You know, chicks dig the long ball. Brett Boone always talking about it. Everybody likes the power. And Zunino, when he hit, you know, almost took it up two rows into the second deck. Everybody loves that. But what's fun, too, is watching the Mariners manufacture runs and go about it a different way. They can score in different ways. Well, it's the same way with pitching. Like, we love seeing the power pitchers who, like Diaz last night. I was sitting up here barking the park night, and, you know, and then you stand for the last out and everything. And Diaz just mowing everybody down. You love that. But it's fun, too, to see these guys. And that's why I always say, man, that looks like a guy. Mike Leake, that looks like a guy. If I guessed right, I could maybe hit him. And I'm just representing, you know, Joe Blows out there if you watch a pitcher. But what's cool about it is these guys are thinking their way through games, too, and they can throw all those pitches for strikes. The batter never knows what's coming. And so, yeah, it's really fun to watch that part of the game, too.
It's Danny David Moore. We're here at Edgar's Canteen. Our coverage today brought to you by Soul. And we're going to have Marco Gonzalez coming up at 3:30. Up next, we'll have some words from Jerry DePoto as his contract is extended with the Mariners today.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
it's Danny, Dave, and Moore, streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
It is Danny, Dave, and Moore, and we are here at Edgar's Canteen, our Friday coverage. Every Friday home game, one of the most enjoyable things we do, and it looks like it's going to be a gorgeous night tonight. The Mariners open in their series against the Colorado Rockies. Our coverage here in the Cantina is brought to you by Soul, and Jerry DePoto has a new contract. That was announced today. They just finished the press conference, and I thought it'd be interesting to hear a couple things Jerry had to say. We'll start with him in cut number one talking about the number of people it takes to have a day like this where the general manager is extended, has his contract renewed. Here is Jerry.
It takes a village to build a baseball organization, and we've got a pretty good village. And from our analytics department to our player development department to what we do on the scouting levels to what we're encroaching upon now in high performance. So it's a really creative group. I think we do it in a holistic way where we all contribute.
You know, I appreciate the humility, but you put all that together, Jerry. I mean, he hired Scott Service. He hired a lot of the people that are on the staff, the ones that he decided to keep. What's the gal's name? Jackson, the new
Lorena Martin,
sorry,
director of high performance.
Right. I mean, he's put all that together, and including hiring Scott Service. So, you know, and I just love the, like he said, the creativity. That's the part of it that, you know, he's willing to look at any kind of a deal and put together all kinds of weird things. The thing he did where they drafted the guy that he wanted to be a scout. I mean, he's just very innovative, and he's got to be the most intellectual GM in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, you look at it, and you know with the trade deadline coming up here in 3 weeks that there's going to be another move that he makes, especially when he talks about the rotation with Marco Gonzalez and watching his innings and Paxton, too, And so you look at it and you go, you know that DePoto's going to make another move, that even though you sit here, you're sailing along and you feel pretty good about where the Mariners are, 23 or 24 games above 500, and yet you know that DePoto has another move in mind that he's going to make.
When you look at the past 17 years that the Mariners have since they've made the playoffs, there's been a number of, I would say, like moments of hope. It's not like it's been 17 awful years. They've had years where they've contended. They've had years where oftentimes they would have made the playoffs, but it took more wins than normal in that season. You've had GMs that have been extended. Jack Zarenczyk, he was extended. You've had managers that we felt really good about. Don Wakamatsu, his first year, we thought, wow, they've really hit it out of the park with this one. This feels more permanent than any of those previous flashes of hope. It feels more permanent because we've had a shift in the core of the talent that's there, and because you have a manager and a GM that are on the same schedule and on the same page in a way that we haven't seen before. Because Jerry DePoto hired Scott Servais, and both of them have really kind of, it's panned out for them together.
Well, and I think the next thing, too, is the farm system, because you keep hearing that they have the worst farm system, the least talent in all of Major League Baseball. That's always just somebody's opinion of a player, you know, and I'm sure that a lot of people had a low opinion of the trade that he made for Marco Gonzalez. And maybe even with Taijuan Walker and Ketel Marte sending him down to Arizona and getting Haniger and Segura. You know, maybe people thought, like, Segura's a broken player and Haniger hasn't really done anything. And so, I mean, that's all people's different opinions, and right now I just think Jerry has gotten to the point where we always talk about John Schneider the same way. I was like, I'm going to go with John on this one because he found Richard Sherman in the fifth round, just to name one example. So I feel like Jerry kind of has that clout right now.
Yeah, it seems that way, and yet they do need to build up the farm system, so that's the next thing. But you have the major league success, Danny, you've talked about, Dave, you too, about, I mean, we've got guys in their 20s now that are probably going to be able to sustain this team's success into the future. And the move that he made with, you talk about being hand-in-hand with Scott Servais, that was one that you could question. We talked about earlier with, what are they doing hiring a guy who's never managed at any level, let alone the major league level, and look how well it's worked out for Scott Servais.
They rebuilt without rebuilding. That's really what the Mariners did. They rebuilt without rebuilding, because they didn't strip it down, but they are a younger team now. They're more athletic. They've done all the things that Jerry DePoto set out. That's why you had the extension announced today. And the guy who has been as big a part of this season's success, and the reason you should be encouraged about the extension for Jerry DePoto, Marco Gonzalez, he's going to join us in the Cantina next. Our Friday coverage here is brought to you by Greg's Japanese Auto and by Soul.
This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
It's Danny, Dave, and Moore. We're here at Edgar's Cantina with Marco Gonzalez, who is, I was looking at it, it's almost 1 year. Almost 1 year to the day since you got traded to the Mariners. I guess it's about 3 weeks short of that. This has got to feel like a pretty good season for you and settling in the right way.
Yeah, it's. I think it's gratifying for all of us, you know, knowing where we started out the year and knowing the expectations from this team and, you know, just the way we've come together through some adversity. I think it's pretty gratifying so far.
All right, so I want to ask, what did you think when Trout was up there complaining about balls and strikes? Were you thinking about yelling at him?
No, definitely not. No, I don't have that kind of clout. I was loving it. I mean, you always like when hitters get fiery, especially, you know, when you have tough battles with a guy like that. I feel like with the Angels, I feel like we play them every other week. So I feel like sometimes it's just a roll of the dice to see who's going to come out on top. And, I mean, he got me once last night, and I was just thankful to keep him in the yard because that guy's pretty special.
Well, and kind of a theme for you is you've been able to work your way out of jams every once in a while and did that last night, and you've done it in the past. And when Stottlemyre came out there, what kind of things does he say to you to calm you down?
Well, we weren't utilizing the curveball early, and I think that's something that's been a pretty big piece for me to throw in there early and get strikes and also be a finish pitch. So just something we weren't utilizing, and I was flying open a little bit with my front side last night early, and it's just one of those nights where, you know, I didn't have a very good changeup, didn't have control of my sinker, and two pitches that are really, really useful for me in big counts. So Just had to be creative, I guess, last night. So he was kind of just saying, you know, hey, whatever you have, you need to give us everything because, you know, maybe it's one of those nights you don't have certain pitch and sometimes you just have to figure it out.
Well, you had the complete game against Kansas City the start before that. And then last night, I mean, how much satisfaction did you take out of that knowing that you didn't have your best stuff?
Yeah, that's one of those starts you learn a lot from. I think it's you know, the ones where you really grind and you have to show, you know, some grit. You know, you're backed against the wall early, and I mean, I go 3-0 to the first guy of the game. That's always not a great start. So from the get-go, I realized that it was going to take a little bit more than just locating pitches. It was going to take some competitiveness and some creativity, and you know, those are things that you hope to just keep carrying on because. You know, we all know, I think we're going to be playing some big games coming up in the future. So, just trying to get, you know, my game well-rounded in that sense.
I heard you mention chess match. It seems like you enjoy being a pitcher and working the mind games part of it too.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite parts of the game and something that true baseball fans kind of understand and take joy in watching is the battle that's going in every pitch, in every position almost, and seeing the back and forth, especially with an AL West rival team. Like I said, we see each other so much that those battles are pretty I had some good battles with Marte last night. He just was on the cutter, it was on the curveball, and you're just hoping they'll miss or pop it up. And those are things, when you come out on the winning end of those, they're your favorite. When they tattoo a ball in the gap, it's always kind of you kind of regret that one.
We got Marco Gonzalez with us here at Edgar's Cantina. It's a gorgeous night. It's going to be exciting. They open the series against the Colorado Rockies. I do need to check. I'd applied sunscreen before the interview started. Am I looking less crazy or is it still looking weird?
Yeah, your eyebrows are a little whiter than usual.
Oh, really?
Your eyebrows look like mine.
It's radio.
I think that my wife has played a joke on me because she got some new sunscreen and it's called Natural Moisturizing Face Sunscreen and Primer. Yeah. I don't think you're supposed to put primer on your face.
It's paint.
What it's called.
Unless
it's called
you paint
primer.
Your face afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Marco, did you come out here to Edgar's to talk about Danny's suntan lotion? Or
I like it. It threw me for a curveball, but I like it.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Difference between that last year and this year. More physical or mental for you?
Mental. I'm pretty confident in the fact that the mental game has been everything for me this year. After my first couple starts, I think I kind of made a switch to being a little more aggressive and attacking the zone with my pitches instead of kind of nibbling at the corners and falling behind hitters and then trying to, you know, walk a tightrope. And I think you still have to walk a tightrope sometimes in these games, but getting ahead and being able to attack with all my pitches has certainly helped, and that's a mental thing for me.
You've also got more than a year now, 2 years removed from the surgery you mm-hmm. underwent on your elbow, and I know you've been asked a ton about it, but that's a surgery that I think a lot of people have come to know a lot about, Tommy John surgery. How big a challenge was that for you, undergoing it and then a full year of rehabilitation to come back?
It was tough. It was, I think, a bigger mental challenge than a physical one. I think, you know, I've been primed to endure some physical hardship in the career and everything, but the toll of sitting out for a year, I think, was pretty tough. And it took me maybe a day or two where I was pretty mad. I was pretty frustrated with life, and I'd just that fear of maybe, you know, maybe I won't get back to where I was and maybe I won't feel right. And you know, the good Lord willing, I don't have to have the surgery again because I've had friends go two or three times under the knife and that's not fun. So, you know, just a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. And, you know, I really tried to stick to the mentality of, you know, maybe a day at a time, a week at a time. And we'll see how it goes. Just put my head down and this is my new challenge. You know, this is my, you know, this is my season now. And then next year, let's get after it and get back on the hill.
I remember after surgeries feeling like I'm never going to get well again.
Yeah.
Did you go through that? It's
yeah.
Kind of a stage, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's some things you take for granted in your everyday life that when you are limited and you can't, you know, use your left arm, the hand that I've been using my entire life, it's very different change. So, getting used to that, I mean, there's a lot of frustration and a lot of anger, and I think I just tried to do my best to channel that into, okay, these rehab exercises are the main thing. This is my new job right now for this year. That's kind of just try to redirect it.
Well, now all of a sudden, this time of year, number of innings is coming up. You know, how many innings can you put on your arm? And I got to imagine that's a tough thing to sort of navigate because you're a competitor, man. You're a professional athlete. You want to go out there and throw as many as you can every night. Is that something that you've had to kind of keep an eye on and sort of force yourself to be
cautious a little bit?
But like you said, I'm just going to try to focus on competing. I think it would do me, I think it would direct me in a negative direction, to think about my inning limit and kind of, you know, pitch timid or pitch, you know, with kind of that countdown clock in my head. So I'm going to try not to think about it. But with a team like this, I mean, the way we're playing, you know, I want to pitch the whole year. I want to go as far as I can, as deep as I can. And, it's whatever's best for the team, and my health certainly comes first, but I definitely want to be out there competing, so I'm trying not to think about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry for bringing it up.
You're good.
I knew you were going to say
you're
that.
Good. You're
way,
good.
Way to bring it up.
Yeah, way to bring it up.
No, I actually was going to ask that. I had innings limit down, but
you
I'll
can cross it off of there.
I'll go to something else. You can cross that off.
Bad question.
And this might be a bad question too, because I'm not sure if Marco, if you're going to want to answer this or not. But there was something like at your start in Boston, mm-hmm. where that you mentioned something about signs being stolen or tipping of pitches, or I was confused as to what exactly was going on there.
I was too. We've been pretty positive that they've been using some things to get advantages in the games, and we've seen it pretty obvious from time to time. So, you know, the game that Wade pitched, the first game there, I mean, the guy goes 8 shutty against them when they were here, and then when we played them there, it was like a different team. So we have some thoughts as to what some things they might be doing there in the game, and just stealing signs and stuff. The game that
like from the catcher, or
we're not really sure. We see it from their dugout, from the first base coaches. We see a lot of relaying of signs and stuff. So we're hoping that they're just getting it maybe from the catcher. We're hoping they're not using some sort of video or something, but. We've been tipped off that they've been doing a lot of stuff. So.
I like that you called out those punk cheater Boston Red Sox. That was awesome.
You know what?
I loved it.
When you feel like it's not an even playing field, and you sometimes it's a tough feeling when you feel like the game might be taken away from you. And I mean, I struck out the side in the fourth, the 2-3-4 hitters, and then the fifth inning. I mean, they were taking swings on pitches that I hadn't seen before. So. You feel it as the pitcher when you face a lot of teams. That was a completely different inning. So I felt like something had to be said.
Are you able? Can you adjust on the fly with that? Like if Zunino calls a fastball, you can throw a curve or do something that would throw him off?
We changed our signs multiple sets during the inning, and they were still on them. So they have something on us that we're not really sure.
Huh.
It's an interesting, just from an observer standpoint, because it's the fine line, right, between what is gamesmanship and what is cheating. Like if they if you can steal signs based on the guys that are on the field and doing that, but there's a very firm limit of that. Like you can't use technology to do that. You can't use things to communicate or use video to be able to study it. And I'm sure that with the amount of video that gets used now, that everybody has to wonder exactly how you pick things up, and it introduces a new element to it.
It raises questions when you look at around the ballpark like this and you see how many cameras there are. It wouldn't be too hard for a team to install a camera of their own, be able to pick things up. And, I mean, we know teams have done it in the past, so it wouldn't surprise us if it happens. I mean, they're some of the best teams in the league. There's not a surprise that some of them play really well and hit really well at home.
Yeah,
it
is interesting and something to think about.
I got some rapid fire questions here.
Let's do it.
Do you think it's stupid that you can strike a guy out and he can still get on first base because the catcher drops the ball?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, because I do too. How about this? What if other sports the head coach dressed up like the players?
Oh, I'd love it. I love it. Football, throw some pads on.
Pete Carroll, full pads.
Let's go.
Peace in.
Yeah. You need to see some commitment from the sidelines.
You don't want to see an NBA coach dressed in a uniform, do you? Especially
NBA
in the NBA.
Coaches and tank tops.
See some guns.
I don't think you're going to see guns.
That'd be sweet.
All right. Growing up, so I played with Steve Largent and Steve Atwater in Denver. Those were both guys that I was like in awe of. Anybody in this dugout, in this clubhouse, that you're kind of in awe of?
Ichiro.
Yeah.
Ichi is, he is such a special, routine oriented, committed, devoted person. Probably the biggest devoted person I've ever seen. The most devoted person. He has his routine. He knows what he needs to do. He's very convicted. Mm-hmm. And I think he's been a huge factor in helping us kind of rally together as a team, because he leads by example. I mean, the guy isn't even playing and he's sometimes putting in more work than other guys. And he's committed and he's a workhorse. So really cool to watch and interesting to be around.
Do you try to get in his ear and talk to him as much as you can? And
I do, yeah. He's such an open, caring guy that he's, you know, he seems to be not very talkative, but if you get him one-on-one, he's pretty neat to talk to.
Yeah. All right, one last thing from me anyway. I know you're, as we talked about off the air, your head coach at Gonzaga, Mark Maktoff. I played with him at Stanford. He's a football player and a really good baseball player. He told me that you were the pitcher, the winning pitcher in four straight state titles. And that's in Colorado, right? Because you're from Fort Collins.
Yep.
That's unbelievable. I don't think anybody's ever done that before.
I don't know. I have to look it up.
As a freshman?
Yeah. Man. Yeah. So as a freshman, how it worked out was it was me and our third baseman were kind of the 1-2. And Brian Peters, he went to Nebraska, a really good athlete. But I didn't play a position really that my freshman year. I was kind of just a pitcher. And so we were way better defensively with him at third. And so that's kind of how I ended up starting that game.
All right, I lied. Yeah. One more also. Are you looking forward to playing National League ball? Because you're a good
Heck
hitter.
Yeah.
So do you remember Nick Moyer?
Yeah.
An old guy you played with at Gonzaga.
Yeah.
So he's the son of one of my good buddies.
Yeah.
Paul Moyer, of course, we all know.
Yeah.
And he said you're an unbelievably good hitter.
I can run into a few balls. Yeah. I can barrel some up. I took BP the other day and felt pretty good.
I saw you hit one out.
Yeah.
Batting practice.
Yeah. Mel threw pretty good batting practice the other day. I was surprised. It was pretty solid. But I can run into a couple. I mean, I get into some alumni BP every year with the high school team or with Gonzaga and get out there and swing it. And, of course, looking forward to the National League games, just being able to help out a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's great. Hitting in the big leagues is great when you're having a great outing because you're like, oh, man, I can help the team out. But when you're out there sometimes 25, 30 pitch inning, the last thing you want to do is come in and put batting gloves on.
Yeah.
So you hope to have a good game that day.
Do you get bummed out that you have to bunt so much as a pitcher?
Yeah, I hope there's two outs or there's no one on when I'm up because I want to swing.
Swing away.
And then I told Brocious. I'm like, hey, I'm hoping that no one's on or there's two outs because I'm swinging.
I was looking at the rotation, though. It looks like you're going to miss start in Colorado.
Yeah, I'll miss it.
And I was thinking, I was wondering if you were a Rockies fan growing up at all.
I was. Yeah, I went down to a bunch of Rockies games. It was only 45 minutes from my house or something. So went down, Larry Walker, Dante Bichette. Yeah, all those guys, man. It was awesome. Andre Scalarraga, one of my favorite players. Todd Helton, the Todd father. Oh, man.
Probably not where you want to pitch, though, for a full year.
Not where you want to pitch. No. Yeah. Not
pretty
ideal.
Difficult.
Yeah.
All right, so I've got this running thing. I'm 61 years old, and I'm trying to retire when I'm 65. And my dream is to be like Newman Lake, Liberty Lake, on the end of a dock with my dog sitting there, and I've got a beer in my hand, and I'm just sitting there just enjoying life. Is Spokane as great as I think it is?
Spokane is pretty great, I will say. I think living there and getting a sense of the community and the city, it's a pretty special place for sure. One of my favorite places.
Hold on just a second. How old are your kids?
My kids are 14. I've got 14-year-old twins.
So you think you're going to retire when they enter college?
A 27-year-old daughter, she always gets mad. When I think, you always talk about my brothers. What about me, Dad? Yeah, 27-year-old daughter.
You think
too.
You're going to retire when they're 18. You're just not going to have to work anymore right when they're entering
Correct.
College. That's
I don't care where I am financially. I'm done at 65. That's it.
Good for you.
That's it.
Marco, it's really fun to watch you pitch, man.
Thank you.
I don't even know. I was at the game. We were all at the game on Friday night watching, and when you came out in the ninth and last night, I was just – watching you walk the first batter on four pitches, and Mel comes out in the first inning after the single, and you can tell it's not your night, and you're just a competitor, man.
Yeah.
And it's a blast to watch.
Thank you. No, I don't know why I've always pitched with a chip on my shoulder. I think maybe being undersized out of high school, I got turned down by a lot of schools that I wanted to go to, and Gonzaga was the school that said, hey, we don't care. We're invested in you, and we want you to come here and play. And I think since then, I've always kind of felt like I was an underdog for some reason, and I've always had that mentality that I need to bring my competitiveness up a level to be able to be where I want to be, and that's always been the last thing to go is my competitiveness. So as long as I'm still kicking out there, I think I'll give it my best shot. But it's been fun to pitch for this team. I don't know how the last time I've had this much fun playing baseball. So.
Well, people in the city can't remember the last time they've had this much fun watching the baseball team. So let's keep it going. We appreciate your time, Marco.
Yeah, thanks for having me out here.
That was Marco Gonzalez here from Edgar's Cantina. The gates are about 45 minutes away from opening up. I see a couple people sitting out there. It's going to be a great night at the park tonight. Mariners open a series against the Rockies. You'll hear the pregame show right here at 6 o'clock. First pitch is going to be at 7:10. Marco picks up the win last night. Not his best stuff. And we've spent today talking about Jerry DePoto's extension, and for good reason. It's the most important thing that's happened for this team's future. And in my mind, this isn't about sort of, hey, you're satisfied with the turnaround that we've seen. It's that Jerry DePoto, in the 2+ years that he's been here, has accomplished what he said he'll do, and that the success you see from this team is a reflection of the fact that they've rebuilt without rebuilding, and you can expect this team to get better going forward.
Yeah, it's kind of like there weren't really any surprises that, because he laid it out. I still remember the very first time we recorded him in the backup studio, and he was talking about the conga line on the bases, the speed in the outfield, you know, wanted to get guys on base, and, you know, and that all came, and, you know, he was crediting earlier, Jerry was, in his press conference about all the different things that have worked for him and kind of deflecting all of the sort of, you know, praise. And look, he built all that. He's the guy that put all of that together. So I enjoy that guy. He is so, if you listen, I've really gotten into the Wheelhouse podcast that Aaron Goldsmith runs, and Jerry DePoto can talk about pretty much anything. And he's just very intellectual guy, and what he says he does, and is able to do it in a really creative manner, and just a really intellectual, interesting guy, but also just, he's been right. And that's the thing. He has been right. And we kind of compared a little bit to John Schneider, same type of thing, where he's getting to the point where it's like, okay, he made a trade, like you, Danny, say you want him to just be like Alex Iverson and just keep making trades.
He's hot, man.
It's working for him right now.
Yeah, what's great about him too is that he'll admit when he made a mistake, and he doesn't mind if you bring it up, and he'll call it an air ball. And I thought it was fun today when he was talking to reporters at the press conference. He said that about the fans, he wants them to be excited about what they're coming to the ballpark to see every day, and he admits he's just a 50-year-old dork like everyone else. So, I mean, it's he doesn't look like a dork, though, does he?
No,
I mean,
he does
Jerry
not.
Looks like a mover-shaker kind of guy.
He
you know,
does.
Like he's selling real estate or something, but he seems down to earth. I love that he's a dog lover and was into Bark in the Park last night. And, yeah, I can't find any reason to fault the guy at all. And you know me, I'm always looking for faults and flaws in people. And with him, I can't find any right now.
A couple things to note. Mitch Haniger is not in the lineup again. That's the second game that he will have missed. He had that bruised knee. He was testing it out. Ryan Divish from the Seattle Times reporting that John Andreoli has been spotted in the clubhouse.
Nice.
So that would be a fail-safe, or if they think that Mitch Haniger has to go on the disabled list because of that knee, because they would need somebody that would be able to spell in the outfield and step in there. So John Andreoli, not sure if he's been activated yet or if they're planning to activate him, but he is up there as Mitch Haniger out for the second straight game. Denard Span again hitting second tonight. I was sitting there looking at, if you did an overall table of Jerry's best and worst moves, the best moves, trade for Marco Gonzalez. Even though Tyler O'Neill might turn out to be a pretty good power hitter, I think I agree with you, Dave. Marco Gonzalez has been good enough that I'm no longer looking at how Tyler O'Neill does, where it's, hey, they got an above-average starting pitcher for their top hitting prospect. And if that was the cost of doing it, I believe that they made the right decision. You might end up coming back and regretting giving up Tyler O'Neill. That could happen because of with prospects. But there's a certain amount of uncertainty. I don't know what Tyler O'Neill is going to turn into long term. And what I've seen from Marco Gonzalez in the almost full year that he's been here, I'm satisfied with that trade. The trade for Mike Leake, I think they found value there. The best deal that he's made, it's either the deal for D. Gordon deciding to take on that salary for an outfield prospect, Brian Hernandez, or it's Haniger and Segura for Taijuan Walker. He hasn't been perfect. He brought Wade Miley in here and abandoned ship on that pretty quick, not even a full year. Nathan Carnes was the guy that they traded for that
Nathan
they thought was going to be good.
That's right.
He didn't do much.
Smiley got unlucky on.
Smiley was, you can't blame him for that, but Trumbo, he traded a player that ended up hitting 40 home runs for Baltimore, and it's not that he got a backup catcher in Steve Clevenger, but did that to free up the money that got Adam Lind and Dae Ho Lee, and they would have been better off with Trumbo at first base. He hasn't been perfect, but on the whole, he's reshaped the roster in the way he said. And in my mind now, this makes the next move pretty easy to do. Scott Service's extension is coming. I would guess that happens within the month.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, he goes and gets all these different pieces, but you got to make it work in the clubhouse. And so the way that that Service has been, you know, and I remember hearing people say Scott Service is I guess I thought of him as an old school baseball guy, the way he was described, that he was sort of set in his ways and could maybe be a little cranky. And what he's done in there, at least from what we've been able to see, always seems well-humored. He's got these guys all working together. And you mentioned it a couple segments ago, Danny, that you had these four sort of pillars of this team, which was Seager, Hernandez, Cano, and Cruz. And you were able to integrate all these other guys in there. And it started with things like whatever they do, story time, sharing time. They have the pool table in there. They have the tournaments going on and everything. And service, I mean, and I know that stuff can maybe seem a little bit hokey, but this team, you could tell, man, they get along. And then adding a guy like D. Gordon, I mean, I just love watching him. Everybody does when he's going up and down the dugout, high-fiving everybody. But another gutsy move by DePoto. But, you know, for service to be able to mix all of those guys together and have it come out right, it's the kind of thing, it's the kind of chemistry where you wonder, like, you're actually considering, maybe not seriously, as to whether or not Robinson Cano should come back on the team, and whether, you know, how you use him when he comes back, just because the chemistry is so good right now.
Extension for Jerry DePoto, one we would assume is coming for Scott Service. When we talked to Scott at spring training this year, he said something, and I'm not sure if I just hadn't picked up on it before, but they've got a template for when they introduce players at spring training and have them talk about themselves. There's three H's: your hero, your highlight, and your hardship. And you give those three things, and I came away from it thinking, that is such a brilliant way. You could use that in any profession. If you're a manager, of how do you get it, workers, employees, coworkers to talk about themselves, that'd be the perfect way to do it. Your hero, your highlight, and your hardship. And I think that that speaks to the way that Scott's been able to build the foundation for a camaraderie. It is Danny, Dave, and Moore. We're here at Edgar's Cantina. It's going to be a blast today. We're hoping John Stanton, Mariners owner, is going to drop by. We've got the professor. He's on deck next.